So let's start off right away in Romans 5.
Right.
I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. It says in Romans 5, 3 and 4, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." I want to talk today about character. And so, got this little visual aid. You know, I don't know how well you can see that. That's an iceberg. Right? You look, this is the part that's above the water. This is everything else.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of those. Sorry, it's a little hard to see it because of the background. Here's another one. So why am I showing pictures of icebergs? The iceberg represents your life. The 10% above the water is what people see. The 90% below the water is your character. And it's what's below the water that sinks the ship. I mean, think of the Titanic. We've all seen the movie or read the story or whatever. You know, this ship, which is supposedly unsinkable, hits an iceberg. The water temperature, they say, on that night was 28 degrees Fahrenheit, 4 degrees below freezing. It was able to be that cold and not be ice because of the salt in the water. So it actually was below freezing. And these people, at first, they didn't want to get in the lifeboats. Because it didn't seem like the ship was sinking. You know, it wasn't like, you know, they didn't want to leave the nice, cozy, warm boat, you know, ship to get in this little tiny boat in the middle of the ocean. But once they realized, of course, that it was sinking, then everybody wanted to get on the lifeboats. 1,500 people drowned that night. If you were in amazing physical shape, they say that if you had something to grab onto to float in, and you're in amazing physical shape, you would last at most 10 or 15 minutes in that water. I used to do the polar bear swims back when I was young, and Kenda said when I told her this earlier, and stupid. So I used to do these polar bear swims, and what you do is you cut a hole in the ice and you jump in, you swim around, and you get out and go warm up. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but here's the deal. When you hit that water, you can't breathe. Even if your head's above water, you cannot draw breath because your diaphragm tightens up your whole chest and you can't breathe. So what you do is you hyperventilate before you go in the water, knowing that you're not going to be able to breathe once you hit it. And so can you imagine all those people on that ship who hit that water and how that must have felt? All because of the 90% that's under the water. Everybody, the crew, all thought it was unsinkable. And so their character, or lack thereof, got them into that situation that cost 1,500 people their lives. An iceberg's an interesting picture of life. I mean, because there's more than meets the eye, and I like that. And what I don't want us to do is forget the 90% under the water. The 90% of what really makes us who we are. John 15:5 in the NIV. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So how does that relate to character? Because what is your character? Is it character that's built from being in the vine or not? The stuff below the surface, the 90% of our life that's made up of our character, is a sum of good character, is a sum of four things. First, self-discipline. The ability to do what's right even when you don't feel like it. Core values. Principles you live by that allow you to make moral decisions. A sense of identity. A realistic self-image based on who God made you to be. And emotional security. The capacity to be emotionally stable and consistent. Okay, so let's look at these a little bit. Self-discipline. When nobody's watching and nobody's around, do you speed? When there's no possibility of you getting caught, how do you act? Is it the same as when you're in front of people? That shows your self-discipline and your core values. Do you live by a principle? Or do you live to look good? Sense of identity. When people challenge you, are you overly sensitive? Do you have a clear image of what God thinks of you and rely on that and not what other people say? Emotional security. When life doesn't go well, do you self-destruct? Or are you emotionally stable and rely on God in those things? See, many people make it to the limelight or make it to the top of whatever they do and neglect their character. Your skill can get you to the top, but it's your character that will keep you there. If you don't have a strong character, you will eventually sabotage your life. You can only fake it for so long. I have a personal example for that. The first time I studied the Bible was in 1992. And I was a people pleaser. And I didn't want to look bad. So I lied. I wasn't open. I wasn't honest. I said all the right things. And I did all the right things because I was a good soldier. But I wasn't honest. And so I tried to do it under my own skill. And, you know, I had different things that they asked me to do, and because I could do all the right things. I had the skills. But, you know, I dated in the church, you know, and followed all the rules. Ken and I, you know, we held hands. We didn't blow it in our dating life in any way. We followed the rules exactly. When we got married, I all of a sudden lived with someone who could see my character. You know? You can only fake it for so long, and pretty soon your spouse figures out where you're at. And I had to turn myself in. I had to be honest. I had to re-examine who I was going to follow, what I was going to rely on. My own skill, or was I going to rely on God, and was I going to develop some character, some integrity? Because I didn't have it. I mean, you look at our society. In the 80s, how many Christian televangelists fell because of one thing or another? Yeah. You know, infidelity, fraud, all those kinds of things. In the 90s, we had politicians, including our president, who failed morally. We learned it again in the early 2000s when corporations such as Enron, WorldCom, Tyco committed moral crimes, and then pro athletes. I mean, pick a decade, right? Yeah. They're, you know, rape and murder and all sorts of things. These are people with a lot of skill. But because of moral failings, character failings, because this isn't what it should be,
they've self-destructed.
They sank their ship. Now we got Tiger Woods, the perfect example. Lance Armstrong, performance-enhancing drugs for those that are into cycling. What's worse is many of these people lied about it as well, on top of it. Another moral failing, another character weakness. Weak character may begin when we're young with lying and cheating on tests. It eventually takes a form of fraud, sex crimes, robbery, scandals. You know, Wall Street meltdown is still affecting American business today. It wasn't from a lack of skill. People don't have a moral compass. What's ours? About 100 years ago, a boy grew up in Europe. His father gave him the name Alois Schlickgruber, okay, something like that. I probably pronounced that wrong. It's German. As a teen, he never learned about character. His parents never taught him right from wrong. So he began to come up with his own ideas and values. His father put him down when he talked about becoming a priest and laughed at him when he spoke of being an artist. He was never valued, never taught values. One night, he heard his mom and dad argue about moving away. Believing they hated him, he suspected they'd leave him behind. In anger, he put up an emotional wall and never let anyone get close. He later ran away. This boy grew up to be a man. This man became a leader. You know him as Adolf Hitler. History proves that Adolf Hitler was a great leader, but he wasn't a good one. He failed to use his influence well. His skill and charisma were huge, but his character was horribly flawed. He sabotaged himself, but not until he slaughtered 6 million innocent people along the way. Hopefully our failings, our self-destruct, if we go through that, isn't that kind of an impact. Life skills, leadership skills are important, but God doesn't want your skills at the expense of your character and integrity. You know? And you know, it's like 1 Corinthians 11:1, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. You know, because I did mention the leadership thing. I'm not saying everybody, you know, would say like, oh no, I can't lead people because I have a... 1 Corinthians gives us the way to that. Get people to follow just the good parts in your character and you work on the bad parts. But follow Jesus as I follow Christ. Because we all have things that are lacking in our character. And so lead yourself well before trying to lead others. Or another way to say that is learn to work on your own character before telling people how to work on theirs. You know, it's that whole, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a house that was like, do as I say, not as I do. Do it because I said so, you know.
Right.
And that's not the way that we want to be as Christians. We want to work on that stuff that's below the waterline, because that'll affect what's above the waterline. You know, in our society today, people spend 10% of their life preparing for the 90% of their career. I was right, you go to school and you get a degree, you spend 4 years there, you maybe spend 40 years, 60 years in a career after that 4 years. Jesus, on the other hand, spent 90% of his life preparing for the 10% that was his career. I mean, he didn't start his ministry till he was in his 30s. At 12, he was already giving good answers in the synagogue, but he spent 90% of his life and then short career, the 10% there, because he knew what was important. we are in such a hurry today to be successful and to get the next thing and to, you know, strive for what's next, that we do it without examining our character and figuring out what we need to change there. Jesus, they even think about him, his example. Son of God, right? Had this amazing relationship with his dad. But even during his time of his ministry, how often do we read that he went off to a quiet place to pray? He still worked on that time with his father. He still worked on those things. He had those. The parable of a sower. It's mentioned 3 times in the Gospels. So it's repeated the same story 3 times. And it does talk about the seed, you know, the seed that falls in the rocky soil grows up fast, but because it has no roots, it dies off, doesn't last. I think probably one of the saddest things to me would be to do all this that we're doing. Reading our Bibles, sharing our faith with people, coming to church, doing all these good things, and not make it at the end.
Yeah.
Not make it to heaven. Because we self-destructed because we never worried about what was below the waterline. We were good soldiers, and we did what we were told, and we did all the right things. And so it may look like things are going great. Those skills that you have might carry you far, but they won't get you to the end. You know, there is a type of iceberg that is not like this. It's very top-heavy. And if you ask people who live around glaciers and icebergs, they'll tell you, they call them whistlers. You can always tell a whistler from other icebergs. It's constantly drifting around, and they make a lot of noise. Sound like any people you know? Don't be a whistler. The bad news about icebergs is it's what's below the surface that sinks the ship. When we have weak character, it will eventually damage our ability to lead, to live life, to do everything that we want to do. The good news is that it's what's below the surface that also supports that tip. In the same way, strong character will hold you up long enough to use your skills. Luke 6, 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Mark 7, 20 through 23. Then Jesus said, "What comes from your heart is what makes you unclean. Out of your heart comes evil thoughts, vulgar deeds, stealing, murder, unfaithfulness in marriage, greed, meanness, deceit, indecency, envy, insults, pride, and foolishness. All of these come from your heart, and they are what make you unfit to worship God." Okay, so it's a character thing. How do we focus on building our character? How do we deal with the 90% below the water? It takes work. It takes self-examining, humility, so that when someone else says, "Dude, I see this in you," you're open to it. You're not defensive and try to justify your actions. It takes all sorts of things. It takes those 4 things I was mentioning, those 4 aspects of character. Self-discipline. You know, best way to work on self-discipline is to practice self-discipline. Pick something you don't like to do, but you know you need to do, and do it consistently. Day in, day out. That will build your self-discipline. So that when you do get in a spot where nobody's around, nobody's watching, you still do the right thing because you've worked on those things. Core values. Read your Bible. Figure out what principles you're going to live by, right? It's not like you're just born with, this is the right thing to do in every situation. We have to figure out what those core values are. We have to decide what we're going to live our life by. Are you going to live it by the Bible? Or are you going to live it by the world standards? Sense of identity. You know, God loves each and every one of us. There's nothing that we can do that will stop God from loving us. Now, there's things we can do that will prevent us from getting to heaven, but that doesn't stop God from loving us. So let's get our identity from the fact that the creator of the universe thinks you're a pretty cool person, likes you, loves you. Let's get our identity there, not in the car we drive, the home we own, the boat we have. You know, don't get your identity from the job that you have. You know, don't get your identity from how many people think you're cool. You know, how many times do we hear in the news where somebody, you know, somebody doesn't get treated the way they think they should? Do you know who I am? You know, it's like, and, you know, it's a, you know, emotional security. Back to the God loves you thing, right? Trust that God loves you. That nothing that happens in life is because God doesn't love you, or he's not paying attention, or he doesn't know what's going on. Those kinds of things, if we start to base our character on those things, then we're going to be solid. And this part will take care of itself. Because not all of us were born with talent, right? But if we work here, this will be great. Life will be better. We will be able to have a successful life, whatever that looks like for you. Successful life in your relationships. I didn't grow up with a lot of character. That cost me dearly in the first part of my marriage. First 6 years of our marriage were horrible. And there's times now that my lack of character still hurts my relationship with Kenda. And so I've got to, and that's the other thing about character, is you can't, it's not like, I'm done. I finished it. It's good. Right? I mean, we see stories of like King Asa in the Bible, who did like amazing things when he started. But near the end, it appears like he fell off the map. Like you didn't make it. You know? It's you gotta constantly work on your character. You know, I was challenged a long time ago about pride. And it's been interesting over the years because, you know, I saw it and so I fixed some things. But over the years, people have said, well, you know, you're prideful in this area too. I'm like, you're right. And so I'd work on that. It's like peeling an onion. So is your character. You know, what you fix today is just to clear off the dirt to see what the next layer is. You know, we got to constantly be working on our character. And through that, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, just our life will be better. Not always pleasant, but better. You won't have the regrets, the shame, all those things that come from leading a life with no support, with not being focused on that's underneath. So with John 15:5 and Mark 7:20-23, these words spoken by Jesus are loaded with meaning. We can be sure of at least one conclusion. Whatever happens on the outside of our life stems from what is happening on the inside. when we see the fruit, we know what kind of tree it is. It will eventually catch up to us. Whatever it is, good and bad. The outside is only a reflection of what's inside. God puts being before doing. I mean, we always get challenges to, you know, share your faith and read your Bible and those kind of things, and those are all good challenges because they can help with the character thing. But ultimately, what we have to focus on first is dealing with who we are inside and getting a realistic picture of that. Not in a, I'm horrible and I'm just terrible, or the other extreme, I'm good. But realistic, which falls somewhere in the middle for all of us. Yeah. Except for Kendra, she really is awesome. But so God prioritizes taking care of the inside, our heart, because that will determine what takes place on the outside, our behavior. So my challenge to you is this week, sit down and spend some time assessing what your character is. How are you at self-discipline? What are your core values? Where do you get your sense of identity? How emotionally secure are you? And then pick something to work on. One of those things. You know, if you constantly feel bad about yourself, maybe what you got to focus on is, how does God see me? You know, God doesn't make junk. If you think you're all good and you can do it on your own, maybe you need to read up on humility and, you know, go back to that verse about, you know, the vine. It's like, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I like that because it's not just, apart from me, you won't be as successful. Apart from me, you'll do mediocre. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing that matters anyway. I mean, you look at these famous people who don't have God in their life and they self-destruct. Jared, the Subway guy. Millionaire, tons of money from being a spokesperson for a sandwich company. And he gets nailed for child pornography and soliciting minors for sex. It's all gone. He has nothing now. Between the lawyers and his wife divorcing him and spending time in jail, he didn't have any character. Let's not be that way. Amen. Let's show people who we are by the character we have, not by all the stuff we do. You know? Because sooner or later, someone's going to catch you when you don't think you're being watched. And you can only fake it for so long. So let's do that this week. Thank you.